Yeah.
What you're going to share this morning, is it suitable?
Yes, sir.
You look great.
Thank you. Just want to open in prayer. So, God, we worship you. God, we thank you, God, that you are here, God, in our midst, Father, to encourage us, God, to empower us, Father, to feed us your lamb, Father, your lambs, God, your sheep, your people, Father. You are a good shepherd, God. God, you take care of your lambs, God, you take care of your people, Lord, and we thank you that you are here today, God, to strengthen us, Father, to heal us, God, to encourage us, to shake us up, Father. So God, I pray for everyone here right now that every heart, God, would be prepared and ready, God, to hear your word, God, to receive your word, Lord God, on fertile ground, Lord, that it would produce, Lord, a hundredfold, Lord. God, that we would receive your word, God, that it would produce a hundredfold fruit, Lord God, everlasting, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. So God, if there's anything in the way of any heart in here, Father, we just release it to you, God. Just want to encourage you guys, just release anything that you feel is in your, in the way of just feeling God's presence and receiving God's word. Just release it now. Just release it. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Hallelujah. God, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for your word, God. We honor your word, God. We honor your word, God. We honor your presence, Father. God, and we invite your presence in here right now, God, to engulf and to consume every heart, God. Lord, consume my heart, God. Just tell him that. Consume my heart with your presence. Consume my heart with your love. In Jesus' name. So if you turn your to your Bibles to Luke 10. Yeah, thank you. Please. Luke 10. Huh? Luke 10, 20, we're going to go through verses 25 through 37. So we're just going to read through that first. Luke 10, 25 through 37. Yeah. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? How do you read it? And he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, You have answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered, said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn. And took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him. And And whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay it. Which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. And I really feel in my heart that that's what God's doing in the church today. In the church here in the United States especially, He's restoring true worship. Because the Bible says He desires to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. That's the way God, that's the way the Father desires to be worshipped. In spirit and in truth. And what does that mean? God is restoring worship. And worship takes on so many forms. Not just pouring out our hearts before God in song, but love is worship. Loving according to God's will, the way God says, the way God has planned, that's worship. When we love God the way He desires to be loved, and when we love our neighbor the way He desires that we love our neighbor, that is worship. That is pleasing to God. That blesses the heart of God. And that's what He's restoring. Amen? And that's where the power is. That's where the world-changing love comes from, when we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That's when we make a difference. That's when we transform a nation. That's when we make an impact in our family members and our neighbors' lives. When we love God and we worship Him in spirit and in truth, that's the key. Verse 25. We're just going to go through this thing verse for verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? A lawyer. See, in those days, the society was governed by God's Word. In the nation of Israel, the government was God's Word. The laws were God's Word. So a lawyer, his job is to know the Word of God and to be a defender of the Word of God and an agent of justice. Right? An advocate of justice. And that's his job. The lawyer's job was to know the Word of God. To know the law of God. And so a lawyer comes to Him and tempts Him and asks Him, what must I do to obtain eternal life? And the reality of it is that represents me. That represents us. I am a person who knows the Word of God. I'm a person who has decided to serve the Lord. See, a lawyer, a man who was a lawyer of the Word of God, he was a person who decided to commit his life to the Lord. He committed and decided that he was going to learn the Word of God, and he committed and decided that he was going to be a man of the Word, that he was going to be a man who served God. So this lawyer appears to be almost wicked in his motive by tempting Jesus, but what I see is a man who decided to serve the Lord, who is coming to Jesus Christ with a serious question. Even though I know the law, even though I know the Word, what must I do to receive eternal life? And that's what we need to ask God. That's what I need to ask God. Because even though you know the Word, even though you may have grown up in church or have gone to church for years, there is a time where we need to stop and just get real with Jesus and say, God, what is this all about? God, why is my life not bearing fruit? God, why am I not making a difference? How come I know the Word, yet I don't know what it's all about? I need a fresh perspective. Amen? Sometimes we need a fresh perspective. Sometimes we need to come to Jesus and be honest with Him. And sometimes we need to stand up as He did. It says He stood up and tested Him and asked Him, what must I do to obtain eternal life? Sometimes we need to stand up and test God. Sometimes you need to stand up and say, God, why? Why am I not bearing fruit, God? Why do I feel like I'm not going anywhere, God? Why do I feel like I do not have that eternal life? Does anyone feel like that in here? Sometimes you feel like you know what you should be doing, yet you feel like for some reason you're not just, it's just not happening. I'm just falling short for what I know God has called me to. I know that Jesus didn't die and call me into His kingdom, that I would be a lawyer and just know the Word and just know the stuff of the kingdom, but not making a difference, not experiencing life. Is this speaking to anybody in here? Or maybe you're newer in here. And you don't know what it means. You're questioning, what is this kingdom all about? What is eternal life? Because he goes up to Jesus and asks him, what do I got to do to obtain eternal life? And that's a good question. That's a fantastic question that we need to ask Jesus. That Jesus loved us so much that he died on a cross. That we would be reconciled to God. That we would have access to be in a relationship with God. That we would be able to have a relationship with God. That we would be able to love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our strength. And that we would love one another. That He has made the way that that's possible. And in John 17:3, He says, this is life eternal, that you would know Him, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So if you're in here today saying, what is this all about? What must I do to earn, to obtain eternal life? It's this. Knowing God. It's loving God. And he asks him. What is written in the law? And how do you read it? And he answered, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said unto him, you have answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. Do this, and thou shalt live. He said, loving the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, strength, and loving your neighbor. If you do those things, you will live. If you do those things, you will know what it means to be alive. Because guess what? That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He made the way that we can love God with everything that's within us. And we can love our neighbor. And when we're doing that, when we're saying yes to that, and when we're pursuing God, and we're entering into that relationship with God, that's when you experience true life. That's when you experience eternal life. Amen? Relationship with God is life. And a lot of times, now I make it's part of my routine, you know? It's part of my routine to read the Bible. It's part of my routine to pray. It's part of my routine to share the gospel with somebody. And it's never meant to be a routine. It's meant to be life. It's meant to be our source of life. It's meant to be the experience of life. That's what life is all about on this earth. We're not just creatures that some odd God came along and said, follow me into my religion. This is the creator of all things. This was his plan. This is our design. He has created man for this purpose, that they would experience life through loving the Lord their God with all their hearts, all their minds, and all their strength, and to love one another. That's our design, amen? That's your design. That's what you've been created for. What a wonderful thing. So a lot of times that feels like, I feel like that's not happening in my life. I'm not walking in what God has created me to be. I'm not experiencing what it is the Word of God says about me, that I should be loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and strength. It's not that I should and I have to. But because of Jesus Christ, I'm able to. What a privilege. And verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? That's another good question. Who is my neighbor? The Bible says, what does it profit if you love those who love you? Even sinners do that. Even people of the world do that. People who don't know Jesus, they love those who love them. He says, what benefit do you have if you love those who love you? Me and my fiance were studying this together, so she had a great insight into this verse right here. He says, what benefit do you have if you love those who love you? There's a benefit involved with loving our neighbor. There's a reward. There's a thing that happens when we love those who don't love us. When we love those who are hard to love. When we love the neighbor that's annoying, that's mean, that attacks, or whoever it may be. The person that's hard to love. There's a benefit. There's a work that happens in your life when you follow the Lord's will and plan to love your neighbor, and you love that person that's hard to love. There's something that happens to you. Amen? There's something that happens to your heart when you go against what your flesh is telling you, and you love that person that's hard to love. There's something that happens in your heart. And that's what he's saying. Who is my neighbor? And this is what this whole story is about. Who is our neighbor? Because we get that, right? We got to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. That's like the greatest command, is to love God with everything that's in you. But equal to that is that we love our neighbor. That's how important we are to God. And people are to God. See, we should be all about Jesus, right? But He is all about us. He's all about you. He's all about your neighbor that doesn't know Him. He's all about the drug addicted, the drunkard, the prostitute. He's all about them. That's what it's all about. We're all about Him. The angels, all the hosts of heaven are all about Him. And He's all about us. How wonderful. So He says that the sun rises upon the good and the evil. And He lets the rain fall upon the good and the evil. He's good to all. And that's what He desires us to do as His people. Be good to all and to love all. Because it's easy to love family. Sometimes it's hard to love family members, actually. I mean, I've experienced that. It's easier to be mean to your family members. But it's easier to stick it out with them, right? It's easier to not give up on a family member because they're your family member. But when it's your neighbor and it's someone that's hard to love, you pursue them with love, they reject you, they resist you, they come against you, and it's really easy to quit and give up and say, well, somebody else can deal with them. But is that really the love that He's talking about? Because the love that He's talking about, I believe, will never give up. Will never relent, will never back down. And that's what He's calling us to in His church. To love Him with all our heart, and to love our neighbor with that type of love. Jesus said that, love Him as I have loved you. Who in here has been pursued by Jesus? Come on, we're in church. Somebody's been pursued. Does He give up? Is He not faithful? No matter what we do, no matter what we don't do, He's still there pursuing our heart. He's not holding anything against us. He doesn't have a grudge. He's not mad. He loves us. And that's the same pursuit we have to have towards our neighbor. Unrelenting love. Something happens to us as believers when we love those people. It's almost like God will put us in a situation like that on purpose to shape and form our character, to make us more like Jesus. If we have that perspective and we recognize that this was a lesson for us, not only are we loving them, not only are we assisting God in doing the work of the kingdom and bringing people to salvation, but all of it is a process also for us. We need to welcome those difficult people. Man, we need to recognize that, man, for some reason I feel tension with my coworker. If I wasn't a Christian, I probably would not like this guy at all. And that's because God wants you to go outside of yourself and love Him with His love. And something happens to you when you do that. When it's outside of yourself, when it's the power of God inside of you, it's the love of God to love that person. God wants us to love people with His love, not our love. So if you have a difficult people in your life to love, it's His plan. It's His plan that your neighbor's difficult. So that it's not easy. And you can't do it yourself. So if your coworker is difficult, if your neighbor's difficult, if your dad's difficult, your grandpa's difficult, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Say, God, I can't handle this. I don't know how to love them. I don't know what to do. He said, good, that's what I want. Now let me empower you with my love so that you can truly make a difference in their life. Love your neighbor is what he said. This lawyer said, who is my neighbor? Let's get into that. So we got that point, right? That there's something beautiful that happens in us when we love our neighbor. Not only is that person loved, not only is that person experienced God's love, not only is the Lord rejoicing because we're partnering with Him and loving people, but also something happens to you. And that's the way God works. He's sovereign. Everything is working out in all these different ways. One thing, we're seeing it with one perspective, but there's so many different things going on eternally. And it's a beautiful thing to love your neighbor. So I hope you guys see that and think a little differently when you're considering that. I believe that God's already putting people on each heart in here right now. That person is difficult. That person that you don't, the person you gave up on. The person that you walked away from. That you tried to help them, but they betrayed you. You tried to help them, but they hurt you. And you walked away from them. Maybe you need to ask yourself, did I walk away from them because my flesh didn't want to submit? My heart didn't want to seek God for His love. So in myself, I decided to walk away from the opportunity that God gave me to love that person. This is what the kingdom's all about. That's what this thing is all about. That's what the church is all about. That's what Jesus is all about. That's what God's Word is all about. That we would love God, that we would experience relationship with Him, and that we would love one another. That we would lay ourselves down and love each other fervently. Because guess what? I don't think that I was really easy to love for God. I know His love is perfect. He probably loved me perfectly no matter what. But I can imagine I wasn't so easy to love in the things that I was doing before I came to Christ. So if God was patient with me and my carnality, how can we not be patient with those in our lives? And that's His plan for us, that we would be patient with those. How many in here have experienced a miracle in their life and have been drawn by God in the midst of your wickedness, in the midst of being an enemy of God? His kindness drew you to salvation. You experience God's love, God saying, come to me and live in the midst of your wickedness. I experienced that. We need to do the same thing for others. in the midst of their wickedness. Love them. Pursue them. So this is Jesus' story and example, because he does it best. Who is my neighbor? Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now, of these three, thinkest thou, or do you think, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then he said, then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. Think about this verse right here. 30. And a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed and left him for dead. How many of you know that most people around us are experiencing that today? That they're beaten, that they're stripped, that they're left for dead. They're helpless, they're hopeless, they can't even get up to help themselves. There is a multitude, the masses laying around us in that same condition. That's what the enemy does. That's what their choices do. They choose to do things that lead them to a place where they're in the ground and they're beaten and they're stripped. How many of you have engaged in behavior that has left you naked, that has left you beaten, that has left you helpless? How many of you have been attacked by the enemy who has robbed, killed, stolen, and destroyed your life and left you for dead? You couldn't even help yourself. That's what he's saying. This man laid there, helpless and beaten. How many of the people of this world today are in that same condition? They're walking around, yes, but in the spirit, they're in a ditch. They're beaten. They're stripped. They're left for dead. Whoa. God, give us a revelation tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, open our eyes to see the reality of the condition of those that you love all around us, God, that they are stripped, God, that they are beaten and left for dead, Father. Help us see that reality, God. Help us see past the mask, God. Help us see past, God, the walls that people put up and see their true condition, Lord. In Jesus' name, we need that. We need that, right? Because look what happens when we don't see that. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Interesting that he uses priest. He didn't say some man. He said a priest. And that priest represents, guess who? Me. Us. The church. He didn't say some non-believer. He didn't say a Gentile. He said a priest. He didn't just say a Jew. He said a leader of the Jews. God's people. God's child. Seeing the guy from a distance. And crossed over on the other side. And I can't help but ask myself, I wonder what that priest was thinking. Wonder what that priest was thinking when he seen the man in need. He seen, imagine you're walking from a distance, you see somebody laying on the ground. And instead of walking over to help him, he crosses over to the other street and continues on. Could it be pride? Has anyone in here experienced pride and not wanting to help somebody? Think about that one. Seeing somebody in a condition that's not so pretty. And instead of going over to where they are, literally going away from them and continuing on so that you don't have to be seen with them or you don't have to actually see them. I mean, maybe not all everybody's done that in here like flat out, but there's definitely been a time where I've done that. Where I've seen somebody and I thought, well, I'm too busy. I gotta go on this other side of the road because if I actually see them, if I actually see the condition that they're in, I might have to do something about it. You start talking with your neighbors, you start talking with your coworkers, guess what? You're gonna hear some stuff. And there's gonna be a responsibility to love, to encourage, to help them. Sometimes we're too busy to do that. Has anyone in here been too busy to stop? I have. And by, is another example, 31. And by chance there came down a certain, 32. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Now he uses a Levite. Another one of God's priests. These are God's chosen people to be the priests of the entire nation. He, check this guy out. He walked up to him and looked on him and said, and then crossed the street and kept going. The priest seen him from a distance and said, whoa, I better come over here and keep going. The Levite actually walked up to him and seen him and still crossed the road and kept going. I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of seeing my neighbor in that condition and walking up to them and seeing them and leaving. Anyone else? Yeah.
It's about being. It's not about the doing.
That's right.
And the problem is we always keep loving one another, but doing something. Are we really willing to change a habit of our own life that it would portray Christ?
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Exactly. And it has to become a habit to want to help people too. It has to become a habit because you know what? It takes time. It takes your time. It takes your day. I've actually like gone out with friends and preached and been out till 4 a.m. Like, one person to the next. God's like, I need you to stay. Here's another guy. It's like one person to the next. God needs his people to arise in love. God needs lovers to arise who are willing to lay it down. Who are willing to love their neighbor no matter the cost. And that's what happens here with the Samaritan. Look what happens here. But a certain Samaritan, 33, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. It said, as he journeyed. The Samaritan, as he journeyed. He wasn't just walking along from city to city. He was on his way somewhere. He was doing something. He was busy. But when he seen the guy laying on the side of the road, he went to where he was, it says. He went to where he was. And he seen his condition, and he had compassion on him.
And that's the example that Jesus Christ Himself has given to us that we need to do. When we're busy, when we're going somewhere, when we're doing our daily lives and we see somebody in that condition, we need to stop. We need to go to where they are. Because that's what it says He did. He went to where He was. He went to where He was. What does that look like? Can we go to where people are? Do you know where someone's at right now? It's in need of help, and are you willing to go where he is and actually see his condition and have compassion? That's what he did. He went to where he was. That's what we need to do. We need to go where people are so that we can have compassion. When he saw him, he had compassion. When he saw him, he had compassion. He went over there, and when he seen him, that's when that heart triggered. That's when the desire to make a difference. That's when the desire to lay down his life. That's when the desire to give of his resources, his time, his life, stop doing what he was doing. When he decided to go to where he was and to look upon him. That's what we need to do. And that's what the priest and the Levite didn't do. They knew that. If I go over there, I'm going to see the condition he's truly in. And they counted the cost even. If I go over there, I'm going to have compassion. And I'm going to have to do something about it. You never know. They might have been thinking that. Because I honestly have done that before. Well, if I go preach at that guy, guess what? It's probably going to have, it's going to be like 2 or 3 hours of my time. Am I willing to do that right now? Could cost me some money. Could cost a ride. Could cost some time. Could cost somebody, I don't know, sleeping on my couch. And I count the cost. Is that really what I want to do? Has anyone ever done that? Has anyone ever considered that when they're thinking about helping somebody? That's why we need to lay down our souls. That's what we need. That's what the Bible says. No man, no greater love than this, when a man lay down his life for his friend. And Pastor Mike taught that a bunch of times. The word life meaning soul. No greater love than when a man lays down his soul for his friend. When you lay down your thoughts, when you lay down your will, and when you lay down your emotions, when you're thinking and considering the guy that God has placed in your life that's in need of help, you're not thinking about what your agenda is. You're not thinking about what your feelings are towards that situation. You're not thinking about your will in that situation. You're asking God. You're laying that all down and you're saying, God, going over there and asking God for compassion, asking God for a heart to make a difference and make and help somebody. That's what the kingdom is all about. That's what Jesus did. What did he do? He hung out with the sick. He hung out with the needy. He hung out with the drunkard and the prostitute. That's what he did. He went looking for them. Jesus sought them out. He went to where they were and he had compassion on them. That's what he did and that's what he's calling us to do and that's what this whole story is about. That's what Jesus did. If Jesus were here right now, he'd be looking for those places. That's where you would find him. Where is Jesus? I heard he's around. Let's go look at the bar or wherever it is where people hang out. That's where Jesus would be. He'd be over there. He'd be going over to where they are and he'd be seeing their condition and he would have compassion on them and he would love them and he would heal them. That's what he'd be doing if he was here right now. That's what we need to be doing. Amen? You don't feel like it, it's okay. Once you go over there and you start talking to them and you see their condition, you're going to want to. You're going to say, wow, this person's in need. I remember when I was in that condition. So it's like the gospel's so simple. God's word is so simple and that's what it's all about. It's all about God making the way that we can enter into relationship with Him, that He could do a work in our hearts and that we could love one another. And that we can assist them in bringing people into salvation. That we can assist them in loving people in a way that they've never been loved. capturing their hearts so that they would live for Him and fulfill His will and His plan for their life. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what Jesus is all about. And that's what we should be all about. And if we're not all about that, then we need to come to Jesus Christ just like that lawyer did. We need to stand up and say, well, the word tent in the Greek is to prove. Or ask. And so we need to go to Jesus and stand up and say, God, please show me, what do I got to do? Please give me, and guess what? When you come to Jesus and ask Him, when you come to Jesus and you stand up and you ask Him, Lord, what do I got to do? He's going to make it really clear to you. You're not going to be confused. You're not going to be lacking knowledge. Some may think some may know they're off. Some may know in their heart, I'm off. I'm not walking in what God is calling me to walk to. And some actually think they got it right. Some think, no, they got it wrong. Some think they got it right. But if you come to Jesus Christ and you ask Him, He's going to make it really clear to you. And you're not going to be confused. And you're not going to fool yourself. You're going to know clearly what to do. And it's going to be really, really, really clear. This is what we need to do. We need to come to Jesus and ask Him for a fresh perspective. And I love what Steve was preaching on last Sunday. And this all goes right together. It really spoke to my heart, the illustrations that he was using of the fig tree. It has all these leaves and it looks beautiful and appears to have fruit and appears to be life-giving. That green, you know, the vegetation just says, cries out life. I have life. Come to me and I'm going to feed you. Then you go up to that source of life and there is no fruit to be fed of. I don't want to be that person that appears to have all these lush leaves and beauty. Yet when the people come to me in need to be fed and come to me in need of help, I have no fruit to give them. And that's what happens when we're not pursuing God. And it's simple. Spend time with Jesus, you know? Spend time with Jesus. It's not this big, complex thing to do. Just stop and slow down and spend time with Jesus. And guess what? His time isn't the same as ours. His idea of Bible study and His idea of worship, His idea of fellowship isn't the same as ours. Sometimes He knocks it out real quick. He draws you in your 10 minutes, you're good. Sometimes it's a couple hours. No matter, has anyone recognized that? Has realized that sometimes it's a few minutes, sometimes it's a lot longer? So knowing that, hey, there's no expectation of the time. I'm not coming to you, God, with this plan, okay? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to read for whatever long. Ready to spend time with Jesus. Ready to experience fellowship with Jesus. Expecting to feel His presence. Expecting to enter into fellowship with Him and His Word. Being filled up so that we can go out and we can be an expression of His love. And the power of His love, not in like a duty. What do you guys think of that stuff? Any questions? Anyone want to have anything to say about that? Questions? Yeah? Man. Exactly. Yeah, like representing a worldly person. Or like a, kind of like, obviously, I mean, not a person of the nation fully. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Exactly. Whoa. I like what you said because that just reminded me of the scripture. it's interesting how he helps him. He goes over there and he helps him. He puts him on his beast. He pours oil and stuff on his wounds. And he takes him to an inn, and then he goes back to what he was doing. He spends time with him. He works with him. But then he leaves him responsible with somebody else, you know? He didn't spend too much time with the guy. He didn't just stay with him. And so most definitely be careful not to go and be a part of other people's behavior in the name of trying to help them. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jesus, you know, he sent him two and two. He didn't just send him one by one. He didn't say, you go this way, you go that way. He sent him two and two, and there's wisdom in that, you know, and going with somebody and partnering with people and making sure you're guarding yourself and protecting yourself. Indeed. Well, yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah, and it's interesting that was his example. He didn't say he just went over and like talked with him and loved on him. That's another thing that Tessa was saying, that he didn't go over there and ask him, what happened to you? Or why are you in this condition? Did you do it to yourself? Did you get yourself into this, you know? But he just helped him. Just helped him. And then the example that he uses is he used oil and wine, and gave of his time, and put him on his own animal, and took him to the inn, and offered, and gave him money, and said, whatever else it costs, charge it to me. Yeah. 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 Hmm. Right. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Hmm. Yeah. We need to help people, and no matter, in recognizing that, you know what, it's gonna cost, you know? Yeah. Exactly. That's right. Yeah. And he gives everything back, like multiplied. So anything we give, like he blesses us. We're blessed in that. So, wow. We see the thing is that we just need to be with Jesus. A lot of times we just deprive ourselves of fellowship with God, and then our perspective gets off. We start like not seeing things so clearly, and it's hard to realize that, you know what? God is the one that's providing. God is the one that's going to give me the strength. God is going to be the one to make things happen. And a lot of times when we're not in the presence of God, when we're not in the Word of God consistently, you know, when we're not fellowshipping with God and just experiencing life, that's when we start having our perspective off a little bit. And that's where we decide to cross the road, you know? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Man. Well, you're storing up your treasures in heaven, you know? And so, you're storing up those treasures within yourself, you know, because the kingdom of God resides within us, the Bible says. It's not, like Jesus said, the kingdom of God isn't here or there, but it's within you. So it's like we're storing up that treasure within us, you know? It's growing within us. It's empowering us. So, yeah, any more? Anyone else want to say something? We're not in any hurry. Yeah. Yeah.
And each one of us has a block in our trials and our tribulations. We will recognize how many points to the medical condition. We will recognize how many means to see. Because the reason that I think that Jesus needs to move on and preach it because they have dealt with a lot of people. And they, like I said, they recognize that there are times in that, you know, we might even want that or something wrong. But the Samaritan recognized and had mercy on the people in the Samaritan had sin in that city.
Yeah.
And that's what God gave that compassion on the people. He needed to help him say, I will see
you.
And that's where he gave the church to those that are recognized. Not just because, oh, okay, I see you.
Wow. Yeah. 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 Amen. That's right. Thank you. Yeah.
What I noticed here is the person that fell. Not the people that did it. The person who fell on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Man. We can help people. And the reality of it is, I mean, everyone knows in here, it's like, I was talking about, just within a Christian, there's this like signature within a Christian where your spirit within you cries out, Abba, Father, you know? As Christians, we have that spirit within us that cries out to God as Father, as Daddy. And that's like a signature to a Christian. You know, there's deep longing within your being to be in a relation, to be with God, right? Also, there's this longing for Christ's return, you know? So, you have this desire, your heart cries out to Father, and you have this desire for the return of Christ, you know? And it says the spirit of the bride, you know, cries, come, Lord Jesus. So there's this expectation of the return of Christ, and it's been in the believer since Christ died on the cross, you know, of the return of Christ. The crying out to the Father. But also within each Christian, there is this knowledge that we are called to greatness. We are called to make a difference. That we as a whole and as individuals have been called to make a difference. That we know that within us is the ability to transform this nation, to transform our city, to transform the world. We know it. The Bible says that you'll do greater things than what, it's what it says. You'll do greater things than what Jesus had done on this earth. Not that you'll do greater things in a sense where you'll die and do greater than what he did on the cross. Well, his acts, his works and healings and bringing transformation, we could do greater things than that even. Because he was here, he was doing that for such a short period. The Bible says that. So within us, there's that desire for greatness, you know? And we know in our hearts that there's the graces in us to make that difference and to do great things. So this is the key to it all, you know? You enter into a relationship with God and you pursue God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you love your neighbor. And guess what? Transformation's gonna happen. Revival is going to happen when each and every one of us love God with everything within us. And that means spending time with Him, just being with Him and loving your neighbor. Transformation will happen. Russ, are you going to say something?
Well, of course, my favorite spot you never guessed is the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
The thing about it is And he said, what's the first beatitude? These are men who have walked with Jesus for over 2 years now. They've seen the miracles. They've seen dead raised to life. They've seen lepers healed. They've seen blind eyes to see. They've seen all the miracles. And yet, he sets them down and he teaches them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's when we quit trying to have our will and we surrender, and that's a tough thing to do. You know, just like what you refer to in John there, laying down your life. Well, that means change your habits. Change your schedules.
Yeah.
Get out of you and into God. And it's really tough to do. And I appreciate where you're taking us.
Yeah. Thank you. That's good. Yeah.
I work in retail, and the number one thing I hear the most is people across the board, it doesn't matter, is I'm so busy.
Yeah.
I ask them who writes their schedule.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if you're so busy, who's making your list? He's making my list and putting requirements on me that I haven't even asked God about. I need to do this, I need to do that. No, I don't.
Yeah.
I need to do what he says, what he says.
Wow.
The rest of it is just taking care of
me. That's right. Yeah, and time's short, you know. It's like our time on this earth is, it's a vapor. And God has given us the privilege and the duty of reconciliation, you know. So we need to, wow, I need to hear that because I was just imagining myself like, and the time that I spend, whether it be on the computer or whatever it may be, that I give all this time to, you know. And it's like, what have we been called to, you know? It's like, am I giving that time and just being intentional and saying, let's go get them, you know? Let's go love somebody. And a lot of times you think, oh, it's going to be all this work. Just go to the coffee shop and sit there. And guess what? God's going to sit somebody right next to you. And you're just going to be like, it's no coincidence that person sat right there or you walked, bumped into somebody, you know? It's that easy. So it's going to be fun. It's not going to be this task. It's going to be fun. You just enjoy it. Yeah.
I wasn't in a rush and everybody else seemed to be, so I keep letting people in line and come and if you do before, someone finally said no, it's your turn.
Yeah.
I'm standing there doing my own little client study. How many people go first?
Yeah.
And the number was kind of staggering.
Yeah, in a hurry. Yeah. 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 Wow. Yeah. 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 Wow. Kids, yeah. I mean, it's the whole world around us, you know, there's such beauty and we should have, I think that what I'm feeling in my heart is God's just like, we need to slow down, you know? We should need to slow down and that's what this society and this nation is just like, go. And I've actually caught myself in this massive hurry to get nowhere. Hey, anyone done that? In this big hurry, and then you're just sitting there like, okay, now what do I do? Oh, I guess I should get on the computer. It's like, you're in this hurry to do what? You know?
you're in this giant hurry because the whole world's in a hurry. But we're not of this world, you know. We can slow down. We can ask God for fresh perspective on that. So God, we just come to you and pray, God, and ask God that you would help us, God, slow down, Father, and see the beauty, God, all around us, even in the wickedness and the world, the wickedness that the world lies in, God, that you see beauty, God. You see the potential of each one of these people who are in the world, God, that you see beauty, God, and that's what you speak over each one, God, that we would see the same thing, God, when there is somebody, God, that's fallen, God, and beaten and stripped naked, God, that you see healing, God. You see beauty in that situation, and that's what you speak, oh God, over us, God. And that we would do the same, God, that we would look around and see beauty everywhere, Father. That we have a God in heaven that loves us, that has made a way, that all this evil would be turned to good, God. That all the sick would be healed, God. That all those who are lost would be found in Jesus' name, God, that we would slow down, God. Just tell them that right now. Help me slow down, God. Help me slow down, God. Help me slow down, Jesus, and spend time with you, God. Help me slow down, God, and love somebody. Help me slow down, Jesus. Help us, God, slow down in this world, God, and see all the beauty around us, Jesus. Help us love our neighbor, God. Help us love, help us have a fresh perspective, God, on the neighbor that's difficult to love, God. On the family member that's difficult to love, God. On the family member or neighbor that has rejected us time and time again, God, that we would go one more time with a new perspective and a new heart, God. Give us a new heart, Jesus. Lord, we want to see this world change, God. We want to see you glorified. We want to see the God of love, the Lord, that His kingdom of beauty would manifest all around us, God. You deserve that, Jesus. We know and believe that you are a God of love and beauty, God, that the world would see that clearly, Father. That you would do it through us, God. You deserve that, God, that we would be a people who love our neighbor, God, that this world would experience your love, Jesus. So, Lord, as we go throughout the rest of our weeks, God, help us, God. Slow down. And we invite you, God. We invite you to invade our lives, God. We invite you to invade our schedules, God. We invite you to invade our time, oh God. In our hearts, oh God, when there's somebody walking by, we invite you, God, to soften our hearts. If we've hardened our hearts towards your call to help, Lord God, we invite you, God, to convict us, God, and to shake us, God, and to remind us, God, of what we've been called to, Jesus. We invite you to do that, dude. Lord, invade us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, invite him to invade your heart.